I'm glad to be back together with you again today, and God has given us another day of life. And to Him we give praise and thanksgiving for the great gift of life. Every single breath we take depends totally on God's grace and mercy. I'm glad that you are breathing, and I do not take for granted that I am too. Such a precious gift is life. Now, last week we discussed the truth, God is holy. And this week I'm bridging or connecting the holiness of God to our own holiness. And this is how I'm doing this. I'm taking us across the Old Testament books of Exodus, and now Leviticus, and into the tabernacle that God instructed Moses to build. The tabernacle, as we have clearly seen, is holy, and thus far we've learned a lot. The Bible has taught us well the following. The tabernacle is holy, and the priest's garments are holy, and the priests themselves must live holy lives. And there is a high priest, and he is the only one who once a year can minister before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. He must be made holy, and across his forehead he wears the plate of pure gold on the turban. Engraved on that plate are the words, "Holy to the Lord." As we read the Bible texts and discuss them, we're flooded with the sense for the holiness of the living God. Even the word holy is all throughout the ancient text. And with all of this as background, today and tomorrow, I want to talk about the high priest and his once-a-year entrance into the Holy of Holies as described in the book of Leviticus. And so now we are leaving the book of Exodus and going over to the right in our Bibles, a few pages to Leviticus. I'll be reading in Leviticus chapter 16. That's chapter 16. And again, if you have your Bible handy, please turn there with me. If not, read this for yourself before your head hits the pillow tonight. Now, just before I read the text and comment on it, my purpose here is to really focus on the matter of the high priest's holiness and the holiness of the tabernacle and the holiness of this Day of Atonement. I'll describe all of this soon, so stay tuned. Now, I say this because I'm not going to go too far down into detail, if I can help it. As I said the other day, it's not that the details are not important. They are very important. There's loads of meaning here, but I do not want you to get lost or trail off and miss my main point. Holiness, as being holy, relates to persons. What we will read here fits the context of the ancient Jewish people's relationship to God, but we can learn a lot from it. And so let's begin in Leviticus 16, and let me just read verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, and they approached the presence of the Lord and died. Now, see, here's what I can easily do. Take you into further detail. I'm laughing to myself because I just said I would resist doing so. So, if you want to read the incredible true stories of how the two sons of Aaron died, go back and read Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10. What will become clear to you is again the holiness of God. Aaron's sons were Nadab and Abihu, and God struck them down dead because they did not do what God had commanded. The holiness of God demands exact obedience. But here in verse 1 of chapter 16, God is now speaking to Moses after the incident of Aaron's two sons. Let me continue to read now in Leviticus 16 and verse 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, or he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." Let me talk about this for a moment. If you've been with me, then you can identify the holy place inside the veil. What is that? It's the Holy of Holies. Remember, we used our imaginations and thought about climbing up in a helicopter above the tabernacle with the roof of the tabernacle off so that we could look down and see the holy place. And then a large, heavy curtain that's finely made and beautifully crafted. The veil. V-E-I-L. And then beyond that, the Holy of Holies. That's this. What Exodus describes as the Holy of Holies, here God calls the holy place inside the veil. And then God mentions the mercy seat, which is on the ark. And we saw that in our imaginary helicopter ride as well. The ark is the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of that is the mercy seat. And this is all in the Holy of Holies. And God continues, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter any time into the holy place, or he will die." Ah, if Aaron so much as steps into the Holy of Holies, he will die. Just like his two sons, Aaron is a dead man if he even attempts entry. Why? Well, look at how verse 2 ends. Leviticus 16:2, "For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." Aaron is a sinful, unholy man, but all holy God's presence will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And God, who is in all ways holy, cannot in any way be associated with, cannot come in contact with sin and therefore sinners. So Aaron, the high priest, must obey the order. He must heed the warning and stay clear of the Holy of Holies at all times. Under no circumstances is Aaron to be in the Holy of Holies. Are you with me? Now let me read the beginning of the next verse, verse 3. "Aaron shall enter the holy place." Wait, what? I thought God just said Aaron shall not enter at any time into the holy place. And now God is saying Aaron shall enter the holy place? Did God change his mind? Is God undecided here? Does he have trouble making decisions? No. If we pop over a few chapters to Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 26 through 28, we get a clear command from God of the one day, the one time Aaron was to enter the Holy of Holies. So let me read Leviticus 23, verses 26 through 28. "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'On exactly the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. You shall not do any work on this same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God.'" That's Leviticus 23, verses 26 through 28. Ah, okay. God has set aside one day, once a year. It is exactly the 10th day of the 7th month, and God calls it the Day of Atonement, and says that on this day, Aaron, the high priest, must enter the Holy of Holies. And that takes us back to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 3. I'll read that again. "Aaron shall enter the holy place." So just to make certain you're still with me, Aaron, the high priest, is forbidden by God to enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. If he enters, he dies, with one single exception, the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, Aaron, the high priest, must enter the Holy of Holies. I trust this is now clear to you. Before we continue in Leviticus 16, I think now's a good time to tell you what this Day of Atonement is, and especially to define the key word atonement. The Hebrew word is kafer, and it means to cover over. What is being covered over? Sin. God is covering over the sin of Aaron and the Israelite people, and when Jesus Christ comes, he will remove sin through his death on the cross. Understand this. The Day of Atonement points directly to Christ. Furthermore, I want you to know the atonement is established by God. My Bible dictionary says, quote, "Primarily in the Old Testament, atonement refers to the process God established whereby humans could make an offering to God to restore fellowship with God. While atonement in the Old Testament most frequently refers to humans offering sacrifices to God for their wrongdoing, several references are made to God making atonement. Because God atones for or covers human sin, atonement is best understood as expiation. That is, removing the barrier that sin creates." Unquote. Another word we can use for atonement is reconciliation. God reconciles himself to us through atoning for our sins. And again, here in the Old Testament, that atonement comes through the sacrifice of perfect, unblemished animals. But in the New Testament, atonement takes on the radical meaning of Christ's death and resurrection from the dead on our behalf. The connection is clear and must be made. The atonement in Leviticus is a foreshadowing of Christ. This whole chapter, as with the rest of the Old Testament, points to none other than Jesus. But for now, I think this will give you a sufficient understanding of atonement. And don't worry, when we move a little further ahead in Leviticus 16, you will understand more. I will make the connection to Christ clear, I promise. By the way, the religious Jews today still honor the Day of Atonement, which is called Yom Kippur, as the most solemn of all the holy days of the various feasts and festivals throughout the year. The Day of Atonement today falls in September or October, depending on the calendar. So if you have Jewish friends who celebrate Yom Kippur, they will do so with fasting and prayer and spend most of the day in the synagogue. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. This day holds significant meaning for both the Jew and the Christian. And we pray that our Jewish friends will make the connection to Christ. Christ is the true Messiah and our final atonement for sin. If you're listening to me and you are Jewish, I love that you are here with me daily on God Is. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah. Now, we'll soon end for today, but what we're doing is we're going with the high priest Aaron. We're following into his duties on the Day of Atonement. This is in Leviticus chapter 16, and God is giving clear instructions for what the priest is to do, and when the priest is to do it, and how the priest is to do it. And God commands all of this because of his holiness. God is holy, and his servants must serve him in holiness. Because remember, God cannot be tainted by sin. The problem, the big problem for Aaron and the other priests, as well as for all of the Israelites and for us today, is that we are sinners. To the core of our being, we are sinners. Please come back tomorrow, and we're going to read on in Leviticus to what God says to Aaron and to the priests about their sin and how to deal with their sin. So join me tomorrow for God Is.